Hey y'all, this is Pastor Steve Berger. Welcome to Courageous Conversations, where we tackle tough issues in the church, government, and culture.
Anyway, so we are in day three of our series that we've been doing called Be Ready, right? A survival guide for the end times. And what we're doing is giving people rock solid, concrete, biblical instruction about what to do in the end times, because there's so much stuff out there that's just guessing and opinion and clickbait and dramatic titles, and it's a prophetic word from so-and-so, and there's so much nonsense out there. Not saying it's all nonsense, but we are saying be careful. But what I want to do, we want to do, is give you something that we know for sure is rooted in the scripture, that if we'll do these things, we'll be ready for the return of the Lord Jesus in these end times. So
solid stuff.
Our anchor scripture for this whole thing is Luke chapter 12, verse 40.
Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect.
You gotta be ready.
Everybody.
So today, we're going to look at two different topics, our third and fourth aspect of being ready. And those are the topics of waiting and watching. Waiting and watching. Waiting and watching aren't the same thing. So far, we've talked about the word. We've talked about worship. Now today, waiting and watching. Now, this first aspect of waiting, I think, is going to surprise some people, because they're just going to assume that waiting is only about waiting for the return of Jesus. But there is another vitally important aspect to waiting that has to do with the end times and has to do with our own power living in the end times with all this craziness going on. We have to understand this. So the first aspect of waiting I want to talk to you about is waiting on the promise of the Father, what Jesus called the promise of the Father, and that is the outpouring, the baptism of the Holy Spirit on your life. So after Jesus was resurrected, he's alive for 40 days talking to them about things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He'd already given them the Great Commission, which was to go into all the world, right, and preach the gospel. But he now tells them something really important. He says, well, let me just read it, or go ahead and read it, honey. Okay. Acts 1, 4 and 5.
And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.
Amen, amen. Jesus commanded, he didn't suggest, he commanded them to wait for the promise of the Father, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And again, he commanded them. Said, John baptized you with water, but something's going to happen. You're going to be baptized, immersed, saturated with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And of course, we know it unfolds. And so the disciples obeyed the command. They went, they waited and prayed and believed, expected, like they, for 10 days, a 10-day prayer meeting. They waited and prayed for 10 days. And we'll see the fulfillment of that in a second. But what I want to say to us this morning is waiting doesn't mean doing nothing. Oh, I'm just waiting.
No.
Again, they were waiting, but in the midst of waiting, they were obeying, like we just said, praying, believing, expecting the promise, the baptism to fall on them. They didn't know exactly what it might look like, but while they were waiting, they were active. Waiting doesn't mean doing nothing, beloved. So the question now is, have you answered the command to wait in your own life for the person and the power and the work, the baptism of the Holy Spirit to happen? He is the difference maker, y'all, from dead Christianity, I mean, to dead religion, I should say, to living Christianity. He's the difference. He's the advantage. Okay, so have you waited for the promise of the Father? Have you obeyed that command? He's worth the wait. He is worth the wait. Because in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, then, Jesus explains some more about exactly what the Holy Spirit would do and why he's worth the wait. What does it say, Sarah?
but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. There's so much to say.
There's so much to say.
And in our own personal experience, and yours, many of you out there this morning, what a difference it makes. He is the paraclete. He is the helper, the comforter. It says those things distinctly in the word. Can you imagine going into the end times events without having the helper? You are going to need him distinguish what is deception, what's not. You're going to need him to be the meter inside of you that says, watch out, watch out, watch out. And I think the church, I hope this is a reminder, but the church at large has become dulled to even questioning that red flag within them.
Yeah.
And we all have at times and gone, whoa, that was the Holy Spirit warning me in advance or empowering me.
That's the
guy
thing.
Behind me needs to know Jesus. All of a sudden, I hear the Holy Spirit say, turn around and engage with this person. It brings you out of yourself.
Right.
The Spirit brings you out of yourself and causes you to engage with the lost world, to be witnesses.
That's the point. He brings you out of yourself for that purpose.
Yeah. Yeah.
To be a witness. He didn't say you might become a witness.
Yeah.
He said you shall.
You'll be different.
You will be a witness.
Yeah.
And you'll be a witness wherever I send you.
Yeah.
There's no place that's off limits. It's all around the world. It's at home, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, a little farther away from home, to all the world.
Yeah.
He's going to send you with power. Yeah. Power. Dunamis is the Greek word, where we get our word dynamite. Mm-hmm. Y'all need to have some dynamite in your life, man. Some Jesus, Holy Spirit, promise of the Father, explosion. We need him.
We're a little excited about
this. Yes, I always am. Wait for the promise of the Father, okay? Now, let's also talk about waiting for the return of the Son.
Yeah.
That's what most of us think about waiting. But yes, wait for the promise of the Father to come upon you with power. But then wait for the return of the Son. Again, back to Luke chapter 12, verse 35 and 36.
Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately.
That's right. Immediately.
No delay.
No delay. And so here the language, you know, we miss some of this because we don't live in, you know, 2000 years ago, but the people who heard Jesus say this for the first, they knew exactly what he was saying.
Yeah.
Let your waist be girded. Mm-hmm. It means, man, you have your, you know, they wore kind of like a robe dress kind of thing.
Tunic.
Have your waist girded, your tunic, have it pulled up and cinched around your waist so that you can move freely and you're not tripping over your long kind of robes. Have your waist girded and your lamps burning. It means in the truest sense, you be ready to move. You be ready to act. You be ready to do whenever it is. You yourselves be like men who wait for your master. And so if we could look at each other's lives, spiritually speaking, are we dressed in such a way? Are we prepared in such a way that we're waiting?
Yeah.
Are we waiting for our master so that when he comes back from the wedding, again, the language is the master would come back late at night after he had been at a wedding, but you're ready for him. You're ready for the master to come so that when he comes and knocks and says, hey, y'all, I'm home again, you're going to be ready to open immediately. Right? You're ready to go.
Yeah.
Wait for Jesus to come back. Now, one of the greatest benefits, and there's many, of waiting for Jesus to return, it's one of the most hope-giving things ever.
Yeah.
Because the crazier the world gets in the end times and all that, if we don't have what the scripture calls the blessed hope, if we don't have the hope of Jesus' return, I'm going to get so bogged down in what the Democrats are doing, what Biden's doing, or what the Republicans are doing, and Trump said this, and we just get bogged down in all of that.
Yeah. There's something so weighty about finding those words in the scripture, whether it's Old or New Testament, about his coming, his second return. I remember driving down Carter's Creek several years ago, and I'm not thinking of the Lord at all. And out of the blue, the Holy Spirit said, I'm coming back soon. And I mean, it just changed me. Like it excites a believer. If you understand the glory of heaven,
yeah.
If you are dulled as a follower of Christ to how much better it is, then there's some reevaluating and some study that needs to happen, because we should all be walking psyched up about the idea or the truth of his imminent return.
That takes us to heaven.
That takes us to heaven.
A place that's way better than here.
Way better.
That's hope. That's life. That's hope giving. Now, real quickly, let me just say the opposite of waiting and watching for Jesus, because he addresses it. The opposite of waiting and watching, Luke chapter 12, verses 45 and 46. Listen to these words from Jesus himself.
But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers.
Heavy language right here,
yeah.
Right? So Jesus is warning that there are going to be people who say, well, Jesus isn't coming back. My master's delaying his coming.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if I start living sinfully right now. I'm going to eat and drink and get drunk and abuse people and just do whatever, because Jesus isn't coming back soon.
Yeah.
And he says, if that's your attitude, I might come back when you are unaware, when you are not ready, and you're going to be judged. Serious, serious stuff. I would also add to this, friends, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Peter talks about, and he says, know this first, that in the last days, there's going to be scoffers, mockers. And here's what they're going to say. Oh, where's the promise of Jesus coming? Everything's the same as it's always been. And then it goes on and says, but here's what they willfully forget. They willfully forget that God judged the earth before through the flood of Noah,
yes.
Something that had been unseen and unheard of at that time. And there's another form of judgment that's coming at the return of Christ for the unbeliever.
Yeah.
And they try to get it out of their mind. They willfully forget it. They resist and reject it. Better watch out.
Yeah, willfully. That says a lot right there. They're making a cognizant decision that I will not.
Yeah.
Believe that or follow that.
Yeah, because
they know it's true.
And it's
because they're deciding to not obey.
Because Peter says they're walking according to their own lusts.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they mock and scoff at the message of the return of Jesus and what it is to wait for him. Don't be like that. Your master's not delaying his coming. I hear him. He's getting closer every single day. We are one day closer today to the return of Jesus than we were yesterday. Hallelujah. So waiting isn't doing nothing. While I wait, now we need to talk about watching. Watching. Luke chapter 12. Again, we're just unpacking what the scripture says here in Luke 12. Luke 12, 37.
Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching.
So not just waiting, but watching.
Yeah.
What are we watching? What do we pay attention to, right? What are we watching? I would narrow this down to two things. I'm watching scriptural signs. The signs that Jesus said would be happening in the earth. Scriptural signs. Signs that the Bible records. And then I'm also looking for societal shifts.
Yeah.
Right? Those two things. And so, you know, we're looking for famines, pestilences, earthquakes, and all of those scriptural signs. But we're also watching for societal shifts. We're watching what's happening in culture. Because what happens in culture and all that, it is oftentimes a scriptural sign, but it helps us show the decay of morality and the wickedness that's increasing and so many other things. First Chronicles, y'all, I love this. You've heard us say this before. First Chronicles 12:32 talks about these guys who were the sons of Issachar. Honey, what does it say that they were about?
The sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do.
There you go. So we want you to be a son of Issachar. We want you to watch, right? So that you can understand the times, understand what's going on. And then what else? You'll know what to do. So as we prepare ourselves for the return of Christ, right, we're understanding the scriptural signs, we're understanding the societal shifts, and then we know what to do. It's like Jesus said, when you see these things happen, no, man, my return is near. It's at the very door, right? So be a son of Issachar. What can you really, just let me narrow this down for you. Like, what are some things to really pay attention to, right? Pay attention to Israel.
Yeah.
Pay attention to what's happening in Israel. I got my Jerusalem hoodie on today. Pay attention to what's happening in Israel internally and externally, what's happening inside the country and what's happening, you know, the attacks that come from, gosh, the United Nothings, the UN, the United Nations.
Yeah.
Pay attention to what the world and all that's going.
Yeah, and the potential of the U.S.
Well,
one day.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, that's, yeah.
One day that will happen and all nations will turn against Israel.
We need to.
It's a hard reality.
It's a hard reality, but we need to pay attention to that. Israel, internal, external, scriptural signs. Again, Matthew 24, wars and rumors of war and famines, pestilences, earthquakes. Mm-hmm. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. What's another scriptural sign? Apostasy in the church. He said that day will not come. Mm-hmm. Speaking of the return of Christ, that day will not come until the great falling away comes. You want to know why you hear so many crazy things? Maybe people you know, pastors that I know, who were one time solid Bible teaching pastors, have rejected the truth of the gospel. I know a guy here in Nashville opened up a homosexual church. I mean, what in the world? It is the great falling away, the apostasy. And so I pay attention to these things. More and more pastors, more and more people deconstructing their faith, falling away from Christ, making up all kinds of excuses. Not for me, not on my watch. Not going to happen. So we're paying attention to Israel, to scriptural signs, societal shifts, increased wickedness, immorality, etc. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line in all of this discussion is this. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, listen to me, beloved. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm going to be spiritually ready in the end times if I wait for the promise of the Father. Because as I wait for the promise of the Father, he fills me with that precious and powerful oil of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to be like the five foolish virgins in Matthew 25, 1 through 13, who those five foolish ones, they ran out of their oil.
Yeah.
Right? The presence and power of the Holy Spirit was gone from their life. And Jesus came when they were run out of oil. So long as I have the oil of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to be ready. I'm not going to be like a foolish virgin. Secondly, I'm going to be ready if I really am waiting for the return of the Son. I'm going to be ready. He's not going to come to me, as he said, like a thief in the night.
Yeah.
I'm going to know times and the seasons. I'm going to be looking up because my redemption draws near. I'm going to be ready.
Yeah, I need to expound on something.
Yeah.
From Luke, again, if you just read in context all of that chapter, 37, when it says, blessed are those servants who, when the master comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit to eat and will come and serve them. I want to encourage you. I wrestled with that scripture for quite some time. And only a few months ago, the Holy Spirit sat me down with it. What it's really saying is Christ is going to be so excited to see his loyal servants in the kingdom. Who on this side doesn't welcome their friends and that have stood with them, that have stood the test of time, that have endured hardships for the sake of their friend? Jesus can't wait to gird himself and serve us because of being faithful to him. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so waiting, blessed are those servants. So he's saying, hey, man, you know, whether it's the first watch or the second watch, like, be prepared. I may not come when you are alive here on earth. It may be the next watch generation of people, generation of believers. But there is a blessing nonetheless. There's a blessing for the watching. So whatever that looks like in your own life, you are blessed for just being aware and watching and being excited. You're not a fool. Don't be ashamed, right?
You're going to be ready.
You're going to be
ready.
If you wait
for the promise of the Father, you're going to be ready.
Right.
If you wait for the return of the Son, and you're going to be ready. Mm. If you watch Israel, if you watch scriptural signs in the earth, mm-hmm. in the church, and societal shifts in culture, you will be ready. He's coming back, y'all. He is coming back. And when he takes us up, listen to what's going to happen. Just like Sarah said, he's going to gird himself for those who have girded themselves, who have made themselves ready. He will gird himself and serve his faithful beloved. Wow, that's awesome. All right, wrap it up, Sarah. Pray for us. Pray for the people this morning.
Oh, Holy Spirit, we feel blessed even this morning for the knowing that Christ is coming back for his bride. We pray, Holy Spirit, you fall on everybody watching and even beyond, Lord God, that we would walk in your power, that we would be a light to the lost world. And we thank you for the sheer gift of knowing you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We give you this day in Jesus' name.
Amen, 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 amen. Get drenched in the Holy Spirit's power and go make a difference for Jesus today. We love y'all. We will see you tomorrow morning. God bless you guys.
Thank you.